Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Friday evening with you as Falcons mandatory mini camp just wrapped up here a couple days ago, and we get ready for a real training camp, that danger zone time of the year where hopefully coaches don't have to take any kind of phone calls from players getting in trouble. But certainly training camp coming up here at the end of July, we will be all over it. And our Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game, Joe Patrick, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. You can follow Joe on his personal Twitter page, at JAPatrick200. Joe, as always, my friend, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy our little talks here. It's always I feel like me and you, you know, sometimes we can have a nice little heart-to-heart here about whatever team we're talking about, so happy to come on.
Yeah, I miss those late-night sports flashes when we would just get into all kinds of discussions. So the good old days. But anyway, let me ask you the question that I asked my audience last night, and I asked Dukes and Bell. If I tell you over under 475 pass attempts for Desmond Ridder, what would you say?
Oh gosh, these are large numbers we're talking to here. What does that even equate to on a per game basis? Do you know?
Let me put it this way: he threw 115 passes in four games last year. That would put him on a pace for 488.5 pass attempts over the course of a 17 game season.
It's tough. I'm gonna say over, just because I think that, generally speaking, he's probably going to have to end up throwing the ball a little bit more than he did in some of the games last year. But I would say, though, Chuck, is that I think the less is more in this respect. The less that Desmond Ridder has to throw the ball, that generally means the game script is going better for the Falcons. Even when they had Mariota last year, anytime you were kind of getting above the 25 pass attempts number was kind of danger zone-ish. You kind of wanted to stick in that lower realm. That's just the way that the Falcons offense is built. It's not this kind of high volume passing attack that we see, you know, other teams around the league doing, and certainly some in their conference or in the division have done for a long time. So I'll take the over, but I think that the, you know, less would probably be more ideal for the Falcons team.
Yeah, and look, I took the under last night on that because I think it will be close. I think he'll be somewhere around 450 attempts, but to your point, Joe, you know, this is still going to be a run-heavy, run-first offense. And I think the other thing that comes into play is I still don't think we have a complete grasp about how good our pass blocking is up front. I'm fine with Jake. I'm fine with Chris Lindstrom. But again, Bergeron playing guard for the first time. Drew Dolman is an undersized center. And Caleb McGarry, for all the things that he did last year, that was mostly in the run game. Still having some issues in the pass protection. I just wonder that how much trust they still put into this offensive line to pass block.
Well, I totally agree with you there. But I think one of the reasons why I'm saying over here is because of some, one of the things I've seen in this OTAs and mini camp that we've been able to watch, and granted, you got to keep the grain of salt here, is that Arthur Smith has explicitly stated that it's a passing camp, basically, which is what you can do when you're not making contact, right? Mm-hmm. But they seems to me like been working heavy on a screen game, a bubble screen game, especially when you've got these kinds of weapons like the Falcons have with the Cordarrelle Patterson and Bijan Robinson and even a Tyler Allgeier, but mainly those other two who are more pass catcher types, type of backs. And we've seen a lot of personnel packages and formations with at least two of those guys on the field at the same time. And I think that one of the things they're going to want to try to exploit by having those guys out there is getting the ball in their hands in space really quickly. So I think that that will also kind of reduce the amount of processing that you ask, you know, Desmond Ridder to do. And maybe those, some of those throws are even checked into based on some of the looks that they get at the line of scrimmage. But I think that that will be a bigger part of their offense than what they showed last year.
So, Joe, the other part about this, too, is I really do believe that there is a chance that we could see two 1,000-yard rushers on this team. And if you look, Tyler Allgeier had only 7 starts last year, only really 210 carries, and still ran for over 1,000 yards last season. And, I think when you look at the rotation of these running backs, I think that there is going to be a more slot receiver type of role for Cordarrelle Patterson. He'll still get some carries, but I think with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, they can really lean on those guys, you know, for a lot of yards. And then obviously the offensive line, I think it's a top 5 run blocking offensive line. I think there's a definite chance that both of those guys could go for 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think if there's any team where that would be possible, it's the Falcons team with the way that Arthur Smith likes to play. And he's so comfortable just running the ball over and over and over again. He doesn't feel any need to throw it if he doesn't have to, like we saw against the Browns last year, where he decided to just run it 14 times in a row. And yeah, you know, it's amazing. One of the things with Tyler Allgeier, and, you know, talking to Arthur Smith last year, he told me this, which was that, you know, when they were in the draft, they thought that Allgeier would be a guy that would be able to produce relatively quickly because of his ability to absorb contact, take contact, and still continue to gain yards. They knew he wasn't obviously the home run threat that they ended up getting in Bijan Robinson this year, but he was a guy that was going to be able to produce, and I think that's what you saw from him last year. He did break off a couple big runs, but biggest runs he had last year, he wasn't actually running away from defenders and actually scoring touchdowns on those. But he's still able to really read his blocks well. He's patient at times when he needs to be. And, yeah, I think that he can just grow more and more from based off of what he did last year. And then when you talk about Bijan, I mean, Bijan is a home run hitter. He is the light. I mean, this guy is – I can't wait to see him in pads, and I feel like I'm going to kind of be continuing to wait even after training camp, because, you know, I think they're going to want to hold him back, obviously not get him hurt clearly, but obviously just limit his contact in that respect. I don't know how much we'll actually see from him during the preseason games and whatnot, but just if anything, just watching him without pads, the guy is so he's electric in terms of his movement, but he's also so smooth in the way he does it. I just can't wait to see a player like him, in tandem with a player like we saw in Tyler Allgeier last year. It should be fun to watch.
Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game, Joe Patrick, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, let's talk some defense. My concern is still, can we sack the quarterback? And look, I know we've upgraded, and I know we're better, and I know we have more pieces and parts and things like that, but I think that there is, in a lot of ways, a lot of hoping and wishing and thinking things can come true. I don't know that we have a handle on Ebikadi yet. Calais Campbell at some point. Father Time catches up with everybody. Maybe Onyemata and Grady Jarrett are kind of more toward the tail end of their career. I think that there's just a lot of questions about whether or not we can sack the quarterback. I don't think it'll be as bad as what it's been maybe the last couple of years, but still, if we're going to be a playoff-caliber defense, you know, we've got to find somebody who comes up and becomes that fire breather coming off the edge.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And it's still a question mark. And that is, again, one of the things that we have not really been able to evaluate in the limited amount of, you know, what we've been able to see with media in attendance at some of these practices and training opportunities. You don't get a chance, you don't kind of understand how the pass rush is going to work because you don't have the pads on, you don't have the full-on pass protection. It'll be interesting to see what kind of personnel that Ryan Nielsen ends up using in certain situations because, you know, I was actually thinking about this just this morning. Well, you know, when I'm in the shower, I'm just, you know, randomly thinking about the Falcons and, you know, what personnel they're going to use in certain situations on the field. But no, I mean, because
I'm not even going to touch that, Joe. I'm not even going to touch what's going on in the shower or anything like that.
But, you know, Ryan Nielsen was talking about it earlier this week that, you know, listen, they've got a big front four on that defensive line in their base package. They're going to be running nickel a lot. I mean, that's what we saw, honestly, a lot. And again, this is a passing camp, so it's all kind of based on what they're facing offensively, but it was a lot of, you know, the four down linemen and Troy Anderson and Caden Ellis at the linebacker positions. But you know, they have some interesting options to use in those early down situations. Yes, you've got Calais Campbell, you've got Bud Dupree, you've got some of these bigger, powerful defensive ends who can set that edge and help you stopping the run. But then when you look at the pass rush, you really kind of need to see the step ups in the second year from Arnold Ebiketie and D'Angelo Malone, quite frankly. I think that both those players are well positioned to make that leap, but Frank, we just don't really know whether it's going to happen until we actually see it with our own eyes. And hopefully when you pair David Onyemata alongside of Grady Jarrett, you can get some, you know, confusion. You can kind of wreak a little bit more havoc than you were able to on the interior portions last year, maybe get some more one-on-ones for those second year edge rushers. But I agree with you. It's certainly the biggest, like, it's the thing about this team that's going to be kind of the make or break for this defense in most respects. I mean, I think the defense will be good, but they can really be more than good if they can get that kind of pass rushing, that elevated pass rush from some of these second year players.
Yeah, that's a lot of hopefullys that you uttered in that mix. What'd you think about the signing of Matthew Trickett, who got a 3-year contract that, you know, is going to be a camp kicker and probably just a practice squad guy? But that was kind of an interesting signing. Just, you know, the fact that they gave him a 3-year contract in it just to be on the practice squad and be a backup kicker if need be.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't really know about, like, why the you're right, it's the deal that is the most kind of befuddling part about it. It's not befuddling to see a backup kicker come in even when you do have, you know, an established pro like Younghoe Koo, because you want to have a guy that you can rely on in a pinch who, you know, you can kind of pick up either maybe not even on the practice squad, but you can pick him up off the street if you've had him in camp and you kind of know what he can provide. I'm interested to know why this deal was made for the 3-year contract. I think that he certainly would have to have a role, maybe doing kickoffs or something like that. I know that's something Ian Rappaport tweeted about earlier today, to potentially, you know, play that role. But it seems like a lot for to have a whole roster spot just for a guy to be doing kickoffs. But who knows? Maybe that's valuable to Marquise Williams.
So, last question for you, Joe. You know, I have consistently talked about on the show that if we're going to be a good offense, this is all about the red zone. With all of the weapons that we have down deep, with the running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, all the different personnel that we have, I really feel like the season is going to hinge on whether or not we can become an elite red zone type of offense. What say you?
Yeah, I mean that's going to be really important. I thought they were actually decent last year, but I think that there is still definite room for improvement in terms of utilizing Kyle Pitts and Drake London in the red zone. It was, you know, Drake London, I don't really recall him having that many, like, you know, catches like you would expect from a big-bodied physical receiver in some of those tight areas in the red zone. But I mean, I've certainly seen him catch some of those in some of these training sessions. Again, I know it's just kind of padless practices, but it is impressive the way that he's able to kind of get up and kind of snatch the ball out of the air, which is always the mark to me of a good receiver, a guy who's not letting the ball kind of come to him, but a guy who's like kind of snatching it out. And so you hope that those two players in particular can be utilized more. But I also think it kind of goes back to what we've talked about earlier, which was that, you know, this team's running game is really going to help them in that respect. It should give some of those pass catchers some more, favorable matchups in terms of the personnel that they're facing to be able to make those receptions, those key receptions. And don't count out Desmond Ridder's running ability, too, to help in this respect. I think people forget, you know, he is decently quick. He's not the biggest guy. I know he put on some muscle, and obviously the Falcons don't want to get him getting hit necessarily. But, you know, sometimes that ability to scramble, extend the play, to get out of the pocket at the, in the red zone late, down inside the 5-yard line or whatnot, can make a huge difference. So I think the Falcons certainly have the personnel, but now it comes down to, will they finally be able to execute in some of these key situations? And some of these situations are going to be, a lot more important. I think a lot of these guys kind of, last year you kind of knew there was house money you were playing with. Now there's real expectations on this team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to execute under that kind of pressure this year as well.
All right, I said last question, but I'm going to throw a curveball. Sure. I was in the building last Saturday. I'm telling you, Yakimakis is just looks like a guy that he's got that nose for the goal, and he just finds the back of the net. That was a beautiful play that he made, when the goaltender came out and tried to, make that play. Just put a move on him and just hit a beautiful shot. Boy, he's a special looking kind of player, and as far as a guy that I think really this team needs, a guy that can just put that ball in the back of the net, and he looks like he's that guy now, that answer.
Yeah, he's a dude. And, what's funny is when he had his introductory press conference, he said, "You'll learn how to pronounce my name when I start scoring the goals." And I think that's exactly what's happened. I mean, he scored them at a rate higher than any other player in MLS. The problem for him is he just hasn't played as many minutes because of injury and coming in late. So he's right there at the top of the golden boot race right now. And at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised to see him win the darn thing, even though he has missed some time. So it's really, really impressive the way that they've been able to identify a player who's been able to come in and make such a big impact.
Well, we know how to pronounce his name. It's Joe Patrick. He is our Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game. You can check him out on his personal Twitter page, at JAPatrick200, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Joe, my friend, as always, appreciate a few minutes. We'll chat again soon.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, Chuck.
Chuck Reed in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Arc Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Arc Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.